School CEO Conversations is an Aptigy Media production. We like to have insightful conversations with education's most inspiring and thoughtful leaders. In this episode, signing 20 new teachers a year, we talk with Dr. Aaron Jarrett, Superintendent of Rockford Public Schools in Illinois. Here are your hosts, Michael and Joy.
Well, Aaron, thanks so much for being on the podcast. Really appreciate you joining today.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. So just to get started, what is the Rockford Education Pathways Program?
Yeah, our Education Pathway is really a long-term partnership between the school district and our local university, Rockford University. And what we do is, while students are freshmen in high school, we start talking to them about the possibility of a three-year sequence of high school courses called a pathway, which all of our students do in areas of interest in the Rockford Public Schools. For those interested in education, they take a sophomore, junior, and senior level elective that culminates with a dual credit in educational psychology with Rockford University. And for those that love that high school exploratory experience enough, every year we select 20 students. And those 20 students go on to Rockford University, and instead of paying $30,000+ a year for tuition, Rockford University has discounted that down to $5,000 for our students. So it's really about $100,000+ undergraduate scholarship.
Oh my gosh!
And really exciting stuff. And then once our students matriculate to RPS to do their student teaching, we actually have our first group of student teachers this year, and it's because this is our fifth year in the program. And so what happens next is, as we hire those teachers at the end of their second year, we also commit to pay for a full master's degree. Their commitment to us is to stick with us for 4 years. And we feel like by investing in our own teachers, in our own students to become our future teachers, it increases the likelihood of retention because of the investment we've made, and we think that builds some mutual loyalty to students who already have a deep connection to our community. And we are really excited to see what this can become for us moving forward. One thing we've noticed is that about 70% of our teaching candidates are either African American, Latinx, and as a result, we are seeing future groups of teachers, at least of those 20, that are representing the diversity of our community. So we think this has the potential to be a big, big opportunity to balance out and create future teachers who reflect the diversity of our community. We're not doing anything. All students in our district are welcome, but this just happens to be the composition of our students. So we think this is really the best of both worlds in terms of a recruitment strategy. We're growing our talent, and we're also diversifying our talent. And I don't think we should have to choose. I think we can do both well. And this has been a big investment, but an investment that has been extremely worthwhile.
So I know that you have a big emphasis on making sure that your teaching staff matches the diversity of your student body. So when did that start to really become a priority in the district?
Almost immediately when I had the opportunity to start working in the district 10 years ago as an assistant superintendent, and then as I listened to our community, I consistently heard concerns that I think were very justifiable about a teaching population that did not reflect the diversity of our student population in terms of race, in terms of gender. Like most faculty and staff across the country, our teaching population is largely white and is largely female. And so we endeavored that the best way to solve that problem in the long term was to look at ways we could turn our current students into future teachers. So we've been really proud of the partnership we've been able to build with Rockford University to solve that problem. And certainly are doing some short-term things as well in terms of recruiting historically black colleges and universities and going to Puerto Rico, Spain, all across the country to recruiting fairs. But at the end of the day, we also felt a long-term solution was warranted and have been excited to build that solution.
So I was thinking, if you have 20 students who are each getting a $100,000 scholarship plus the cost of graduate school, Where are you guys finding the money for that?
So the way we were able to find the money is Rockford University commits to providing that discount for our students. So they cover the undergraduate discount, and then we commit to pay for the graduate school each year.
Okay.
So while we've been waiting for our first cohort to graduate undergrad, every year we've had a cohort of 20 in graduate school. And so Rockford University has a graduate cohort that they would not have had guaranteed every year. And so both institutions really partner to provide value to the community and to each other. They have grown as an institution, and we are growing a pipeline of extremely committed, dedicated, and diverse teachers.
Yeah, and that sounds amazing for Rockford University too, because I'm thinking about a lot of these universities that have historically put out a lot of teachers, and they're struggling right now to attract teachers to the programs, right? They're struggling to attract students. So it seems like this is a great way to ensure that they're going to constantly have a pipeline of students. But then going beyond that, it seems like a great way to ensure they're going to constantly have those graduate cohorts. And I mean, right now at graduate schools, if you can't constantly fill a program, it's pretty much getting cut. And so this seems like a great way to ensure that they're going to consistently have those programs coming through.
Absolutely. I really think this is truly a win-win. And we always have to be on the lookout for things that grow the profession, that grow educational training institutions and universities like Rockford University. And ultimately, the students benefit when we do this work well. But it's generational work. This is not a quick fix. You know, this is something that I had the privilege to work with two different college presidents on. First, Dr. Head, who is now retired, who was really a co-architect of this work. And then Dr. Falkemer, who is the current president, has seen this through. And so this takes many, many people doing really awesome work and sticking with it. I mean, this is our sixth year of the work now. So it's really an exciting partnership, but it's not the kind of thing that you can do quickly. You're investing in students. The first group of students we invested in were juniors in high school 6 years ago. But boy, the time goes fast, and now we're here. Now every year we're going to be able to count on 20 new graduates who are going to be the future of our teaching force, which we find really exciting.
Are you worried about some of the districts around you trying to snatch them up before you hire them?
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's for sure. That's why we do ask for a 4-year commitment from the students. And yeah, I suppose there is a risk of losing them. But we feel like if we've recruited students who have liked the idea of teaching in RPS because they went to RPS and are community natives, you know, they've grown up here, they have deep ties. We certainly know we'll lose a few here and there because of different circumstances. But we're willing to take the risk that after that 4-year mark, that most of them are going to want to stay with us.
So I'm curious, is this something where students have been really excited about the program and you've had kind of a wait list, or is this something that you're having to really market to students and families?
Well, that's a great question. When we first started, we had a hard time even filling the cohort. Now, every year, we usually have pretty significant competition for those seats. There are usually well over 100 students that complete the pathway.
Wow.
And then from those 100, you know, you'll lose some students that may be interested in education, may have changed their minds and not going to education, or some that want to, not every student wants to do their undergraduate experience in their home community, and we certainly understand that. And we hope to recruit a whole bunch of those back home as well. But we have found that there's been a pretty good balance between those interested in the program that qualify for the program, and we hope that continues each year.
What I really loved about this is that this is one of the education pathways that your students have. You said earlier that all your students have to participate in some pathway that's a part of your college and career academies. Is that correct?
That is, yeah. We offer 14 different pathways in 4 different academies. All of our students after their freshman year get to make a choice for essentially a group of students they want to study with in their academy. So they pick an interest area, a very broad-based interest area. We have one for health. We have one for public service. Altogether, there are 4. And then within those, there are pathways like this education pathway. And what a pathway academy is, kind of taking all of your general education courses with a group of students who have common interests to kind of create a school within a school. So all of our high schools have a freshman academy and 4 other academies. And then within those academies, there are a total of 14 pathways, which are those 3-year sequence of courses. So we have a really powerful partnership with the Rockford Police Department and the Rockford Fire Department that creates future police and fire candidates, which is a really exciting one. We have people that are aspiring to get into the medical profession that are doing a health pathway, those that want to get into manufacturing. There are some neat engineering and manufacturing opportunities. So without boring the audience and listing all of them, the concept is really powerful in the sense that lots of different interest areas that basically do something similar to that education pathway by connecting interest with real credentials while in high school. And you know what? We have found that on the one hand, we get a lot of students that find out what they want to do for the rest of their life at a very young age. And on the other hand, we find, boy, it sure saves families and students a lot of money. Because the worst thing you can do is go to college, get a major in something, and then right at the end of the road go, ooh, I'm not sure I want to do that. So we feel like we can save folks some money by finding out what they don't want to do while they're still in high school. And the credit hours are free.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things I really, really love about this program, specifically the education program, is that it's almost like you're viewing it as part of a larger like career in tech education, and actually including that and viewing it as something that should be promoted and should be encouraged and should be advocated for, just like we're seeing that across the country with career in tech ed, just like we're also seeing it with promoting certain programs like medical profession within high school or within even middle school or elementary school. It seems like you're really kind of taking that energy and also pumping it into education while you have students there seeing the profession firsthand.
Absolutely. We feel like if we want to model these pathway partnerships with local companies to connect our students with potential employment in our region in the long run or outside of the region in some cases, but we want to really connect those learning experiences with potential career opportunities. And we feel like as one of the largest employers in our region, we employ almost 5,000 people and 2,000 teachers in our district. Why shouldn't we eat our own cooking, so to speak, and do the very work and make the very investments we're asking our aerospace companies or our local hospitals or our city government to make? We should be making those same investments in our students. And so the RU pathway allows us to lead by example and also benefit in a big way. It really helps when I try to recruit new partners for similar pathway concepts to let them know, hey, we're doing this for our own talent development, because not every company is excited about a 5 to 6 year payoff for talent development. Most need to make much quicker returns, and we are fortunate that there are other companies out there, like our city, for example, that sees the long-term benefit of making these investments. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and for most school districts across the country, you mentioned being one of the largest employers. That's the case for most school districts across the U.S. And so it seems like most school districts are at least in somewhat of a boat of there's a great opportunity to at least promote the profession, even if you can't have necessarily a direct tie to a university.
Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about recruitment and retention, getting these prospective teachers in the door is really only half the battle. So how are you thinking about making sure that your Rockford Education Pathways program students or just any student teachers feel comfortable enough to stay at Rockford?
Well, that is so important to acknowledge. It starts with listening, and we're not where we need to be yet, but we need to build affinity groups. We need to build ways to connect with younger teachers, with millennials. We need to find ways to make sure we are truly making our community appealing, because in many cases, the culture of the school district is part of the problem or part of the solution, but we also want to really make sure we are partnering with our entire region and our community to make sure it's an appealing place to live and to grow and to play and to ultimately potentially raise a family. So we have found that listening and building partnerships very strategically with our new employees is extremely important. If we don't make those investments after we have them, all of the money we invest to get them in the door is likely to be at risk. So I think you've brought up an excellent point. And frankly, I think we have more work to do in that area. But we want to do everything we can to make sure that our newest employees do feel safe, do feel excited and energized, and that we are investing in them as a community as well as a school district.
So we've kind of dug into some of the long-term solutions for getting more diverse teachers in your schools, but I know that you also mentioned that you're working on some shorter-term solutions. Can you describe some of those?
Well, in the immediate term, we've really tried to reinvent our recruiting. And I have to give some credit to School CEO as a publication. I think it was probably three or four publications ago. There was a really strong publication with a series of articles that you produced about recruiting millennials. So part of it has been recently, how do we connect with this new generation of teachers coming out? So that has been something we're doing really differently now. We're changing the way our website looks. We're changing the way we behave at recruiting fairs. We're changing the way our recruiting budget looks, and we're finding different ways to connect. We also recently have invested in the student teaching experience itself. We have a concept that we've been able to borrow called the multi-classroom leader concept, where we pair a year-long student teaching experience with one of our really strong multi-classroom leaders at the elementary level. And that's from an organization. We borrowed the idea from an organization called opportunityculture.org. So we've been stealing ideas from people all across the country on how to connect with millennials, how to extend our student teaching experience into a year-long paid experience, partnered with a great teacher through that opportunity culture concept. Lots of short-term solutions, but we ultimately felt starting with our current students and developing them into our future teachers with the Rockford University Pathway Partnership was ultimately where we needed to go to have the biggest long-term impact.
Well, thank you so much for that shout out. We are all smiles in here, so we appreciate
it. It was earned. It was really well done, and lots of outstanding information about how to connect with, as a Gen Xer, I learned a lot.
I was, just because this is something that I've been looking into a lot lately, there has been kind of the shift now for millennials since the pandemic away from the mega cities and the coast. So did you happen to see people coming from like Chicago? Or I was just really curious on that end.
We have not seen anything immediate, but what we have seen is about a 6% increase in values in our housing market.
Wow.
And that is really exciting. We have not seen growth like that for a while. We've seen 5 consecutive years of housing value growth in our community, and we've actually invested in a housing incentive. So to all of those aspiring teachers that are looking for a great place to live, we have a housing incentive that we've tied in for new teachers and a housing opportunity for student teachers so that they can have a place to live while they student teach. So we're willing to make big investments in future teachers because we think teacher quality and teacher diversity is so key to our success. So we've not only added a $10,000 housing incentive to help encourage people who might be open to a community like Rockford, Illinois, which is close to big cities, but has some of the advantages of more of a mid-sized community. And we think if we can get them here to student teach or get them here for that first year of teaching, there's a lot to love about Rockford, Illinois for sure.
So are you seeing circumstances where there are teachers who are planning to go to Rockford who are actually getting kind of scooped up by Chicago Public Schools, which is really nearby? Or I'm kind of wondering, what is the need for all of these incentives to get teachers to your district?
You know, we are just far enough outside of Chicago that we haven't seen massive exchange back and forth, but there certainly are some people we're able to recruit to Chicago from Chicago, and certainly vice versa there. And we certainly want everyone to have the long-term experience they desire. And I think our focus, whether it's Chicago or any other neighboring district, it's to be the best possible teaching and learning environment and working environment that we can create here. And hopefully over time, we can come together to grow the profession so that we're not dealing with the shortages that we are right now. And I think we can all be a part of that together collaboratively.
Yeah. Because I mean, for a lot of districts, gaining a teacher in most cases means for another district, they're not getting a teacher.
Right. Yeah. And we have to avoid this being a zero-sum game. That's one of the things we love about our Rockford University Pathway concept is by growing our own students and connecting to those that are future teachers and giving them a four-year scholarship to attend Rockford University. These are families and students that are deeply connected to our community already. So I don't see that necessarily as a loss for other districts. And then if they work for us and get a free graduate school education as well, that investment really solidifies an existing relationship. And I think that's something that we can see more and more of. I think we have to do things not only to better recruit the existing teachers and teaching pipelines, but we have to build our own, and we have to collaborate to grow the profession, because I just think for far too long there have been headwinds in the teaching profession in general. In the state of Illinois in particular, we're seeing significant decreases in the number of teaching candidates. And if we don't address some of those root cause issues of the appealing nature of being a teacher and being an educator, then we will all suffer for that. And most importantly, students will suffer. So, you know, we want to work arm in arm with districts across the country and certainly in our state and our region to make teaching as attractive as possible. And frankly, it's been tough lately because I think we need to do more as a country, as a state, and locally to really up that appeal. We ask a lot of our teachers, and I think it is time for us to invest in the profession.
So I wanted to dive into something that you mentioned before, and that is that your student teachers are actually paid at Rockford.
Right. Yeah, this is something new that we've come up with, and with some increased flexibility from the state, we've been able to offer year-long rather than 10-week to one-semester student teaching experiences. And we call those student teachers aspiring teachers. Mm-hmm. And what we attempt to do is provide both a housing incentive so that we can attract people from across the country to come to Rockford for student teaching, but we also offer a $17,000 stipend. And the idea is just living through that experience. We thought, what are some of the obstacles that that keep people from going into teaching? Well, one of them is we have this tradition of people paying for a semester's worth of education.
I did
while
that.
Working full-time jobs.
Yeah, it's not fun.
It's just very atypical. You know, obviously, internships that are unpaid can be extremely valuable, but we thought, why not find ways within what we're allowed to do in our state to allow that as an attraction tool to say, hey, not only do we want you here for a semester, we'd like you here for an entire year, and we aren't going to pay you the full wages of a first-year teacher yet, but we're going to help you with your housing, and we're also going to make sure you make some money so that you can afford to live while you're doing that, as opposed to just taking all loans out. So we increasingly think that's going to be the way in the future. It costs money. Obviously, it's hard to beat, from a district perspective, free student teachers. But we think making this investment in the short term leads to a much better experience and allows us to be more appealing in the recruiting process.
That sounds super interesting. It actually reminds me of something that I actually heard Jon Stewart talk about a while back, because he was talking specifically about The Daily Show and how, as a show, for years they had had this initiative of they wanted to hire more writers of color, and it was kept being an initiative, but nothing really ever changed. And what they realized is that they were always hiring their interns, and their interns were always coming from families that could afford to have a year off in an expensive city like New York. So what they did was they made it a paid internship and saw that the demographics of who was actually applying and who was going to be a part of that internship drastically changed. That's, I think, actually how like Trevor Noah got on the show originally, was from that. So it seems like you've even seen some of that model as well and kind of implemented some of that.
Well, I really love the connection you made there. I was not aware of that anecdote there, but that is extremely powerful. And if that's how the world got to know Trevor Noah, that's a great thing, because I'm a huge fan of both Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah. So what a great idea. And yes, if we can continue to provide a high quality and increasingly diverse student teaching pool to go with our RU Pathway work, that's fantastic. We do find that makes us more competitive when we are recruiting on a national stage. Frankly, the prospect of trying to draw someone in from a large geographic distance, for example, if we're recruiting at a historically black college or university, most of which are located in the South, you know, we already have January, February, and March working against us.
As someone who's from the South and whose brother lives in Bloomington, Illinois, I can tell you that is my first thought every time he tells me, oh, you should move to Bloomington. It's always, but it gets really, really cold.
That's right. So we love the idea of really trying to make those early investments, because we're constantly fighting against those really cold January days are not a great recruiting tool for most people.
Yeah, I would imagine. So now that it's been about 6 years since you've started the program, and you probably have teachers from the program in your district, how is that going?
Well, everything is interesting with a pandemic for sure. So I've had a little less face-to-face contact than I usually do. Mm-hmm. And I am really looking forward to getting out to see both our aspiring teachers. We have 17 of those paid student teachers this year,
wow,
as well as our Rockford University student teaching cohort as well. So I still have that on my to-do list. I've been trying to get into every building just to say hi, model social distancing, model masks safely, and just show, because we're doing some in person, I felt like it's really important for me to not be tucked away in my office, but to be out and about. So once I get an opportunity to get out beyond getting into just visit schools, I'm going to make it a priority to visit with some of these student teachers and to check in to see how they're all doing.
So just wrapping up, thinking back on your career, what is your proudest moment as superintendent?
Well, for me, there have been many, many really great blessings and opportunities in this role. I happen to be working in the community that I was born and raised, and that alone has been really gratifying to feel like I can hopefully be part of making a small difference in this community. And, you know, one thing that really stood out, we had the opportunity to have one of our Rockford University second-year student teachers was a young man that I had gotten to know. He was a first-generation college student and was somebody that had a teacher that really went out of her way to connect with him. Well, what was really cool is at the Rockford University master's degree graduate ceremony, we had a teacher that was graduating. He was able to give, this young man as a sophomore in college, was able to give the graduate diploma to his teacher who inspired him to get into the Rockford University pathway. And so when I think about what it means for a young man, in this case, his name was Antonio Ramirez, to give his teacher, Allison Utech, to give her graduate diploma, and the way that connected the generational nature of teaching, I thought, wow, this is what it's really all about. And that was one of those rare moments. I don't get many where I could kind of take a step back and just kind of breathe out and smile and say, wow, you know, this really has a chance to make a difference. When you see the intergenerational connection that was formed there, one of her former students that she inspired was now part of the next generation of teachers. That really hit home with me.
That's incredible.
That's amazing. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. Really appreciate being on the podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for listening to this School CEO Conversation. You can follow Dr. Jarrett on Twitter at RPS205Super and learn more about the Rockford Pathways in the show notes. To learn more strategies for recruiting young teachers, visit schoolceo.com/teachers. While you're there, subscribe to School CEO for more advice, stories, and strategies for leading your schools. School CEO is brought to you by Aptigee. This episode is sponsored by Frontlines of Justice. Frontlines of Justice is a digital platform crafted to utilize the power of film to address social, racial, and educational issues in America through innovative technology, premium content, and influential educators. It's like nothing you've ever seen, offering content you actually want about issues you actually care about. In these times of social unrest, racial injustice, and remote learning, Frontlines of Justice is the solution that we need. E-learning that is changing hearts and minds from the front lines. Join the front lines at frontlinesofjustice.com.